puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, a popular winter pastime is cross-country skiing. And one of the places where listeners might ski is the Trans-Canada Trail. Here in Manitoba, the trail crisscrosses the southern part of the province, extending from the Ontario border over to Saskatchewan. Typically, I think, people see the trail as an opportunity for recreation, for exercise, and, well, for nature sightseeing. I suggest it's also a great way to connect with our history. So today, we're talking about some of the historic sites, including a place called Mountain Glen that one can encounter while traveling the Trans-Canada Trail.
Certainly a nice weekend for cross-country skiing, so I'm very pleased to be talking about this. For listeners who may not be familiar, what is the Trans-Canada Trail?
Well, it was conceived in 1992 to link together existing trails that were for hiking, biking, skiing, horseback riding, and snowmobiling all over Canada into one continuous trail. In its present state, about 28,000 kilometers, that's over 17,000 miles, the Trans-Canada Trail, or the Great Trail, as it is now known, is the longest recreational multi-use trail in the entire world. It began as a legacy project for Canada's 125th birthday that occurred in 1992.
Wow. So who built the Trans-Canada Trail?
Well, although it's supported financially and physically by private citizens, corporate donors, and municipal, provincial, and federal governments, the trail has many actual builders, most of whom are motivated by a love of getting outdoors and seeing the country at the slow pace of a walk or a bike ride. You know, as opposed to zooming past in a car or flying overhead in a plane, you really get down and personal when you're walking the trail. And if one was to travel the entire length of the Trans-Canada Trail, one would get, I think, a really good sense of Canada's diversity, a diversity in geography, climate, wildlife and nature, well, and human culture and land use. Here in Manitoba, the 19 segments of the Trans-Canada Trail have been built by municipalities, by individuals and groups, all coordinated to some extent by the Manitoba Recreational Trails Association, or Trails Manitoba for short.
And when was the trail completed in Manitoba?
Because it started as a linkage of individual trails, it was not fully completed from border to border until just 6 years ago in 2017. In total, the Manitoba Trail is about 1,700 kilometers, over 1,000 miles in length. But unlike the Trans-Canada Highway that travels across Manitoba in a mostly straight line, the trail zigzags through the province. You know, it passes through the scenic Whiteshell Provincial Park. Then it heads north to Victoria Beach, back through Winnipeg and down to Emerson, across to Altona and northwest to Carberry, then up to Neepawa before heading towards Saskatchewan through Erickson, finally passing out of the province near Roblin. Portions of the trail are on the side of paved or graveled roads, but quite a lot of it is on paved, graveled, or ungraveled trails, sometimes through quite rugged and challenging terrain. The goal, I think, is to place as much of the trail as possible away from vehicular traffic. And the reason for that is not only for purposes of safety, but I think also to promote a more quiet, peaceful experience while traveling on the trail.
You say that you mapped historic sites along the trail. How did you actually do this?
The website for the trail, tctrail.ca, has an interactive map that one can zoom in and zoom out of. So I followed the trail along its route through Manitoba. At the same time, I was looking at a similar interactive map that's on the Manitoba Historical Society website that shows historic sites. I purposely only identified an historic site as being on the Trans-Canada Trail if it was within a stone's throw. Now, of course, there are many more historic sites to see if one is inclined to go off the trail a short distance, especially in towns. In total, I found 384 historic sites within a short distance of the trail. And if any of our listeners want to see that full list, search our interactive map on the website at mhs.ca/map2, the number two, using the keyword TCT.
All right. And what sort of historic sites does one find along the trail?
Well, of the historic sites I found, 43% were buildings, 40% were monuments, 13% were locations where something had been in the past, 8% were cemeteries, and 5% were museums. So it's quite a diverse collection of things to see.
And this series is called Abandoned Manitoba, after all. Is there any elements of abandonment in this story?
Yes, indeed. One of the longest segments of the Trans-Canada Trail in Manitoba, at 174 kilometers, 110 miles, is called the Rossburn Division Trail. It occupies an abandoned line of the Canadian National Railway between Neepawa and Russell. The railway was abandoned in 1996 as plans for development of the trail were just beginning. Trails Manitoba negotiated with the railway to sell its right-of-way and, just as importantly, to stop dismantling 27 bridges along the former rail line. The tracks had been removed, which was okay for purposes of trail making. You don't want the rails in the way, but the bridges had to be kept in order to enable the trail to cross things like rivers and streams. Luckily, they were able to preserve most of the former railway bridges. Because this portion of the trail is a former railway, it passes through many farming communities along the way. And there were no fewer than 21 grain elevators. Of course, people know my fixation with grain elevators. And of those 21, six are still standing. I would especially recommend a stop at the elevator in the village of Silverton. Its owner has recently repainted the former United Grain Growers elevator to look exactly as it did in the early 1960s. They've done a magnificent job.
I remember that story, and I definitely checked it out on the website. And you know, your hint actually mentioned something about a mountain glen on the trail. What is it about?
Well, this is probably one of my favorite sites. It's near the village of Miami, a very picturesque place. It's on the edge of the Manitoba escarpment, where there's a rather steep hill. Well, I guess you could call it a Manitoba mountain, I suppose, through which the South Tobacco Creek has eroded a deep valley. Glen means valley, so Mountain Glen is an apt description of the area's geography. Now, I'd been told that there was once a one-room school called Mountain Glen School at the site. It had opened in 1901, so you know, I wanted to check it out. The schoolhouse was situated partway down what is known locally as Writer Hill, and at the bottom of the hill is the meandering South Tobacco Creek. To get to the former school site, I parked my car at the bottom of Writer Hill, then I walked up. It wasn't an easy walk either. I was completely winded by the time I reached the top. You know, I later learned from the local history book that Writer Hill had been used in the 1960s as a private downhill ski slope. So it's got quite a bit of slope. Anyway, the school has not operated since 1950, and the building is now gone. But its concrete foundation and a nice commemorative sign remain to tell its story. Now, unfortunately, this section of the trail is not presently passable because a bridge over the creek was thought to be unsafe, so it was removed. There are plans to rebuild the bridge so that people will be able to stop at Mountain Glen again, but in the meantime, the trail now bypasses this very scenic spot. Even if one doesn't get a chance to see Mountain Glen, though, it's worth remembering that while traveling and taking in the natural beauty, you know, while you're skiing, you're walking, you're biking, anywhere really on the Trans-Canada Trail, there is a lot of history to enjoy too.
Well, Gordon, thank you so much for the reminder. What are we going to be talking about in 2 weeks?
We're going to revisit a site that we first talked about here in 2015, an abandoned site in Winnipeg that I have distinct memories of visiting as a child. I remember it because of the smell, a pervasive, overwhelming, ungodly stench.
I'm oddly intrigued, and I'm looking forward to that. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll talk again then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.